Disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. Cast. I'm Zach Birchie. It's a slightly different version of Super Manga Pals this week, right before the holidays. Joining me is manga.about.com editor Deb Aoki. Hey, Deb.
Hey, Zach. Nice to be back.
Great to have you back. And sadly, our friend Ed Sizemore sort of randomly announced that he retired from podcasting, I guess? I didn't even know that.
Hey, I know.
That's weird. Everybody tell Ed to knock it off and come back to us. But he's not in this episode. And instead, we have incredibly prolific manga reviewer for our Anime News Network. It's Rebecca Silverman. Hey, Rebecca, thanks for coming back on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So I guess we're at the end of the year here, 2012, winding down, only a couple weeks left. I guess we'll start with Deb, just off the top. We'll get to your sort of year in review a little later, but what have you been reading lately?
Oh, there's been, like how it is with movies, there's always this glut of stuff at the end of the year.
Yeah.
It happened with manga as well. I mean, we got Therme Romain, by Mario Okazaki, that time-traveling story about a Roman architect who gets transported to Japanese bathhouses and thinks they're the shit. Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing. Also, Moto Hagio's Heart of Thomas, which has been delayed many, many times. It is kind of this influential, kind of the book that influenced a lot of boys' love today, but it's very chaste and very emotional and very, very poignant. It's a big honking doorstop of a book. It's worth checking out.
Yeah.
And what else is there? The other night I was just actually reading Blood Lad, believe it or not, from Yuki Kodama from Yen Press. Mm. And it's basically about a demon world and a human world. And this human girl gets sent to the demon world by mistake. And she meets this guy who is the descendant of Dracula, which sounds incredibly hokey. But, he's like a teenager guy who's obsessed with Japanese pop culture. So he starts grilling her about, Akira and all this kind of stuff and wow, maid cafes and stuff. It's surprisingly engaging and funny in a way that normally that kind of shit just leaves me cold. This stuff is pretty funny. Hmm. Otherwise, I've been reading His Favorite by Suzuki Tanaka from Sublime. It's a really funny boys' love comic about a really cute guy who kind of like somehow picks out this creepy guy who isn't really that cute. He has like a bug eye and a scar and kind of like singles him out as the guy he's going to be hot for. Mm. But it's a really twisted little boy's love comedy. It's really fun. Otherwise, I've been reading something I brought back from Japan, Boku wa Beatles, which is, I think, something Carlos Santos turned me on to. It's by Kaiji Kawaguchi and Tetsuo Fuji, ran in Morning. It's basically about a bunch of modern-day boy Beatles cover band that gets transported back in time to 1961, before the Beatles ever hit it big. And they claim the Beatles songs as their own.
Wow, kind of a dick move.
It's really kind of amazing. I'm only up to volume 4, so I don't know how it ends, but The way that these musicians kind of go about it, they say, we're going to challenge the Beatles to be even better, and they're going to create even more amazing songs that we've never heard before. But it leads to a lot of unintended consequences, like a lot of time travel does. This is not available in English yet. I've had discussions with Ed Chavez about why it's not. And we went back and forth on this a lot.
Yeah, that seems like a no-brainer for someone like Vertical.
Yeah, apparently I think there's some concern on Kodansha's side about the Beatles.
No shit.
Who they are very not keen to cross.
You don't say. Yeah.
but at the same time, if they could do a shitty movie like Across the Universe, why couldn't they do this? I'm just saying.
Yeah, that Cirque du Soleil show kind of sucks too, so who knows?
Yeah, see, so, you know, I mean, it's, I just think, I don't know why this has not been optioned for a movie, because it's a brilliant, brilliant concept.
It is, yeah. Actually, you know, once that circulates, I guarantee we are going to see a version of that with a less litigation-happy band, like Led Zeppelin or The Stones or something like that.
Wouldn't it be amazing?
Yeah. Cool. That actually sounds great. I really want to read that now.
Yeah, you must. It's a good one.
All right. So that pretty much sums it up for you in terms of what you've been checking out recently.
I have way more, but I'll let Rebecca hop in.
Okay. Rebecca?
All right. Well, instead I've been reading things that are slightly less intelligent than what Deb has been reading with all of the fun of grading finals that I mentioned. I teach English, so they're all essays. That's fun. But so I've been catching up on Blackbird by Kanoko Sakura Koji, which has been, let's say, a huge disappointment. I don't tend to like to get too preachy about, oh, well, this is what teenagers should and shouldn't be reading. But I got to say, this has some really bad messages.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't Blackbird the one with the whole, like, I don't know how to put this, a lot of rape in that, right?
No, there's no actual rape.
Implied or suggested or...
Well, there was a lot of implied sex up until about volume 8, which then had the longest and most disturbing sex scene I've ever seen in something aimed at teenagers.
Oh, I've let myself lapse on this. I have to see this out.
Oh, it's pretty special.
Qualifies as a recommendation, I guess.
I suppose. But this latest volume has the heroine saying things like, well, I thought I wanted to be a kindergarten teacher, but now I know I just want to quit high school and be your wife, Kyo. And, you know, yeah, lovely stuff like that. If the dog hadn't been right there, I would have thrown the book across the room.
Oh, I haven't had a moment like that in a while.
Oh, good, well, there you go. Here you go. Pick up Blackbird 15. You'll be set.
Wow. I guess because like Tokyo Pop hasn't put out anything in a while.
So right. Yeah, this one's
good. But, all the time.
So that's been interesting. See, what else have I been? I mean, really doing a lot of shoujo. Been keeping up with Kamisama Kiss, which is just sweet and fun, and I really enjoy that. And that's by Julieta Suzuki. And recently I read the new series in English by Mayu Shinjo, Demon Love Song, which is...
Oh, that's fun, huh?
A love spell. Yeah, that's fun. It's a lot more fun than, say, Sensual Phrase, which felt sort of ran off the rails in a few places, shall we say. But I enjoyed that. I'm glad that one got picked up in English.
Mm-hmm.
And then my favorite... Well, I guess I'll say silly or stupid thing that I've read recently. I've read in French is A Midnight Secretary by
I've heard a lot about this.
Oh, it's a
thing.
It's basically a romance novel with pictures. So it's, and it takes a different spin on the vampires. They're not dead, which I like. but he's the very overbearing male and she's the spunky yet adorable female.
Aren't they all?
Oh, yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's a textbook romance novel.
Uh-huh.
But it was a lot of fun, and it's, you know, only 7 volumes, which is also nice. One of those I'd sort of hoped might get picked up in English after Butterflies Flowers did, but I guess not.
Yeah, I've heard about this one for a while, so I'm surprised it hasn't been picked up yet.
Yeah, this one and Private Prince by Maki and Joji, I'm surprised hasn't been picked up.
Mm.
I don't know that one, but it's a... basically a wish fulfillment fairy tale about this grad student who manages to hook up with a prince. So
nice.
That's all. Yeah. Hey, why not? It's more exciting than my grad work. So I guess mostly the brainless stuff. I did also read Umineko When They Cry, which was very Agatha Christie. It felt very much like her. And Then There Were None in the setup and the, so almost the cast of characters, not entirely, but it wasn't a terrific start, but I'm definitely looking forward to where that one's going to go.
Oh, I forgot to add in one other thing I've been reading. I've been reading a lot of the Shotaro Ishinomori manga on Comixology. That has been fascinating. Kikaira, Inazuman, Cyborg 009, all the original ones.
Oh, yeah.
Really fun. Some of it's a big old mess, like, you know, Kamen Rider, which is, oh, I can't even begin to describe what, how it basically feels like he's making this shit up chapter by chapter. But it's worth checking out. I really like Inazuman for some reason. It's got a nice, it's got like a weird mix of, you know, the superhero, you know, the mutant psionic powers. And then there's some weird sexy time, you know, wink and a nod type. Sexy humor like Gona Guy in there. And then his Shotaro Ishinomori's double page threads are amazing. They're quite a sight to behold. So do check out that. Check out those. That's really good. Hey, Rebecca, have you read the Pride and Crazy for You, I think? It's on J-Manga.
No, I haven't read those yet. I haven't really checked out much on J-Manga yet. I've sort of
those are the two you should check out. If you like shoujo, you'll love those.
Oh, I'll have to. Yeah, it's another shoujo I've been really enjoying. Is another French one is Hikari no Densetsu.
Oh, what's that about?
That's great. It's about rhythmic gymnastics, which, as far as I can tell, is sort of a mix of ballet and gymnastics and crazy.
And, nice.
yeah, great. And it's sort of it reminds me a lot of Swan, actually. With this sort of intense competition and the girl who is sort of the underdog but is determined to rise to the top. It's got a nice little romantic subplot that doesn't take over her gymnastics plot, which is very nice. It's from 1985, I think, and the art is definitely dated, but the energy in the story and the dynamic way that the gymnastics poses are drawn is really incredible.
Wow, that sounds great.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Cool. No, I really like that older stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame so little of it actually gets published here.
Yeah, it's nice that digital kind of is kind of, you know, setting a new tone for that. I mean, I don't think you would ever expect to see Ishinomori's work in print. You know, I mean, I think everyone has basically conceded that anything published before 2000 in Japan, you know, unless it's by Tezuka, probably won't be published in print. Unless it's something that maybe drawn in quarterly or Fantagraphics is willing to pick up.
You don't have a lot of hope for Rose of Versailles in English then?
I think everybody wants it, but I've heard various stories on why it hasn't been picked up.
We'll see how the anime does.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough one, you know. Trying to get new manga readers into the classics, you know, like the stuff that has provided the foundation for what they read today is challenging because the style does look dated and stuff like that. But, you know, when you read like Kitaro, which is a Gegege no Kitaro, which is coming out in January from Drawn and Quarterly by Shigeru Mizuki, that is the yokai manga. So, I mean, you know, that's, you know, Blackbird is a yokai manga, Nura is also a yokai manga. All of these are all very much influenced by Gegege no Kitaro. Right. But it took someone like Drawn and Quarterly to say, you know what, this is important stuff and we're going to publish it.
And he also wrote Nononba, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, that was wonderful. And that was more autobiographical, if I understood it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Nononba was a woman who introduced him to the world of yokai.
It was just a wonderful, magical little piece. I loved it.
Yeah, they did a real service by bringing his work in.
Yeah. All right. Cool. I would really like to see more of that guy's stuff. Definitely. But it's one of those things where it's like, who is going to buy it? But, you know.
Yeah. You know, I keep wishing and hoping that the market is ready someday for it, but... You know,
what are you gonna do, right? So I meant to ask, I guess this, for both of you, so in the last year, have your consumption habits changed? Are you still buying like a lot of physical books? Have you tried to switch over to digital a lot more? What's the status on that? Deb, if you want to take that one first.
I mean, I only bought an iPad in June.
Right.
I'm a pretty slow adapter to technology. But since I've gotten it, I've been reading a lot more manga digitally, mostly for the fact that a lot of it is only available that way.
Yeah.
You know, with the arrival of J-Manga, and then there's a few other sites that have popped up. You know, Yen Press is offering things digitally. Viz Manga, of course, is offering a lot of things as digital first. There's also a few upstarts that are coming up, like Amimaru, that's offering things on Facebook. So there's a lot more that, you know, it offers a lot of variety. J-Manga, I think, is really, you know, getting more and more better quality content. So it's, you know, compared to what they had a year ago when they first launched it, the quality difference and the speed of the releases is remarkable. So it makes it more worthwhile for me to read those things. I still do buy a lot of print manga, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, anyone who's read manga for any period of time runs into a space limitation problem. You know, right. I mean, but Bleach, One Piece is like 60-something volumes. You know, and then you just tweeted that picture from Gantz, volume 23.
Yeah.
I would love to catch up with Gantz. I would love to read Berserk. But, you know, plunking down, you know, a couple $100 to catch up with that series.
Yeah.
Kind of excruciating.
Yeah. It's tough. Yeah, it's really goddamn expensive sometimes if you want to actually catch up with some of these things. It's not like it is in Japan where, you know, every couple of months you drop, you know, $6 on a volume.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here it's like, oh man, I'm really behind. Do I have $250? Yeah, it's basically.
Yeah, I would love to read Berserk, you know, but I feel like I got into it way too late.
Yeah.
And then there's always the problem with, particularly with print volumes, is that certain volumes go out of print within a series,
yeah,
and then it becomes really hard to purchase.
Which is what Kleckner over at Right Stuff is—that's what he's trying to remedy with his whole program.
Right.
Impacts everybody, as he's always been saying and has said multiple times on the show. Mm-hmm. That impacts the seller. That impacts sales of other volumes. That impacts sales of volume one when someone looks at a series and they're like, "Well, I can easily get volumes 1 through 3." Inexplicably, volume 4 is $115 because it's been out of print for a year and a half, and then the rest of them are easily available. That's going to kill sales of that manga. So,
right. Yeah,
that's kind of the problem he's trying to solve, and hopefully he is successful with that. But
has he gotten much uptake from other publishers?
I couldn't tell you. I know they're working with Tokyopop, but... I believe he has said he's reached out to Viz and then a couple other places.
Yeah. I know they know it's a problem.
Yeah.
Particularly for libraries.
Yeah.
Who want to keep their collections current.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a long-standing pain point. So I hope print on demand, you know, the quality has gone up quite a bit. I mean, I thought the Right Stuff editions of Hetele were quite good.
Right.
The quality was quite nice.
So, Rebecca, what are your in terms of digital? What are your habits? Have they changed at all in the last year?
A little bit. I'm what might politely be called a bibliophile.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole space thing, I passed that a long time ago.
I'm sure. Yeah.
So, you know, the space and the for books and cat hair, it just sort of it's a all at war in my house. I still manage to mostly consume the paper variety of manga. I do read a few online. Mostly I follow what Gen puts out. I'm reading their anthology that comes out once a month, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting to read. It's all, you know, sort of underground stuff. And I guess that's why I was drawn to it, because it's things that I won't get other places. Mm-hmm. And some of it's better than others. The quality really varies. But... So that's the one that has become my digital consumption at this point. I think probably the way I view anime has changed more than the way I read manga. But again, that might be that bibliophile thing.
That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I don't generally plunk down, you know, money to buy the DVDs unless I really, really love a series.
Exactly.
I mean, but there are some series that have only streamed that I'm kind of bummed they don't have available for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Cross Game on Viz. I think that's an awesome anime series. So good. I would buy that in a heartbeat, but it's not available.
Yeah, and I think I've been using libraries more, actually, is probably the biggest way that things have changed. And for those long-running series that you were just talking about, there's no way that I'm going to be able to buy all of D. Grayman or Claymore, since I'm so far behind. But fortunately, the library does have them. Mm. That works. That's how I started reading Rosario and Vampire. Probably one of the weirder things I've read, if only because the artist goes out of his way to show everyone's underwear except the heroines.
Oh, that's right, huh?
Yeah, it's really strange. The anime didn't do that, but in the manga, he's always hiding it. Never quite figured that one out, but I would not have read that if not for the library, just for being behind.
Right.
So that's actually, now that I think about it, it's probably the biggest way that it's changed. So not so much digital as learning I don't have to pay money, I can go to the library.
You're lucky you have a good library. Not all of them do.
Yeah, and it sort of serves as the high school library as well as the public library, and I think that's why they have such a good teen section.
Oh, excellent. That's good to hear.
Cool.
A few librarians are keeping up.
All right. So I've been checking some stuff out myself. In the last couple of weeks, I basically said, hey, I want to read all the Evangelion manga. The Viz one, not the Dark Horse mm-hmm. stuff. So I went to Viz and said, hey, I think I might do a big review or a piece on this. I've got an iPad. How about it? And they said, okay, which is one of the great things about the Viz digital service. If you are a reviewer and you need to catch up or you need to read a whole bunch of volumes at once, it doesn't cost them any money, and you're not necessarily asking for much. If you just say, hey, can you just dump some of these volumes into my account? And they're like, yeah, sure, here you go. And then a few seconds later, it's all ready to download on my iPad. Like, that, to me, that's great. Like, I want that for everything now. Where it's just literally like, look, I want to do a feature on your content, but I need the actual content. There's no physical copy that has to come to my house, which is really nice. So I've been checking that out and speed reading it a little bit because it's very similar to the show in the early going. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's basically just the show, except it takes longer to get to the point a little bit. I'm only three or four volumes in, and I'm at the point where all I'm doing is just saying, like, all right, when is this going to strongly diverge? When is this going to get more in-depth? Mm-hmm. I will read more of it. I do really like the art, but... I don't know. It's okay. Waiting for it to get more interesting. I know the most recent volume, and this was caused by the fact that they released volume 13, which has imagery from End of Evangelion on the cover, and that's what made me like, oh, you know what? I always wanted to know how the manga handled this, because I was told for years that the manga does strongly diverge and gets a lot more into some of the apocrypha and the story and all that stuff. So waiting for that to happen. It hasn't happened yet.
I feel like I have to sit down and really spend a weekend and dive into the story, because it was several years, I think, months if not years, between volumes.
It's years, yeah. It takes a really long time for new volumes of that to come out.
Yeah, so I feel like I have to re-immerse myself in it. And I'm not a big Evangelion fangirl, so, the mythology escapes me a little bit.
Yeah.
And, I find the manga a lot of times to be much easier to digest. Like, I read the manga version of Durarara and Madoka Magica, and I found, like, oh, that's what that meant.
Right, yeah. I had the same reaction with both of those series.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, I just somehow it was clearer seeing it before you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, admittedly, the Madoka, manga doesn't have those hallucinogenic, sweeping, epic, cosmic, sequences, and you miss out on that. But you do get, a better sense of what it's all about.
Right. In some ways it's nice with a plot.
I don't know about that. Those surrealist hellscapes are, like, to me, like 30% of the appeal of the show.
No, I know. So, I completely agree that I think that's the anime is far superior in experience.
Right.
That you should watch the anime first and read the manga later, not the other way around.
Yeah, totally.
But it is a nice companion piece.
Sure, which doesn't always happen. And I'm finding that with this Ava manga, like, in the early going, it's not even a companion piece. It's like, okay, yep, that's the show. Uh-huh, yeah, I remember that. Yep, okay, mm-hmm. And I'm just sort of, flipping pages real fast, going like, all right, okay, uh-huh, yes. waiting for it to change up a little bit. So hasn't happened quite yet, but you know, I'll keep at it. Again, it's just sitting there.
You got at least 10 more volumes to go.
yeah, exactly. There's a lot of it left. I feel like that's what I'm going to be reading on the inevitable holiday plane rides. But the big thing that I got that I wound up buying a few of them, and some to give away as gifts, were this absolutely ridiculously beautiful and totally perfect Nausicaa hardbound collector's edition gigantic twin volume set.
I wish I bought more of that for gifts. They're gorgeous.
They're
aren't they?
So pretty. It's perfect. I could not have asked for a better release of this. It's got the nice big format, the giant, you know, it's like almost 11 by 17 page size, which is really how you need to read that, because those paperbacks, it's way too small. And Miyazaki's right. drawing like the tiny, like his panels are already really crunched, like they're already real small. It needs to be way blown up. And this set that they put out is stunning and like crazy cheap, or at least it was on Amazon. That's why I bought a few of them. I was like, you know, I know people that would love this. This would make a great Christmas gift. And it's $30. Like, that's insane.
It's a crazy deal. And then, did you see that thing on ICV too?
I don't know. Yeah.
It was basically an interview with the marketing dude there, and he was saying they sold out of the 7,000 copy run.
Oh, really? Man,
that's why when you if you tried to buy it a week or two ago, nothing is available.
Wow. Great.
So you scored, man, because it's going to take them a while to get restocked.
Great. Yeah, no, that's good news. I mean, I'm shocked that they only ran 7,000 units. I assumed this was a big seller for them.
I know. The price was right. The presentation was awesome. And everyone talked it up. I mean, Boing Boing wrote it up. A whole lot of mainstream art outlets wrote it up.
Yeah, of course, because it's Miyazaki, so it's going to get that mainstream attention. But
so, you know, I mean, but that was kind of like also a counterpoint to how publishers are reacting to the digital revolution. They're making some volumes as beautiful print artifacts.
Right. It's something you want to have on your shelf. Yeah.
Right. Like Thermae Romae is like two volumes in one. It's oversized. It's bigger than a Japanese edition. It has this clear plastic cover. And Heart of Thomas is also another beautiful, large hardback.
Yeah, Wonder Sun has been consistently beautiful in that same way.
Mm-hmm. No, it's just like people talk like, oh, well, how do you overcome scanlation? How do you overcome digital? It's like, well, then you make the print something that gives value that you can't get any other way.
Yeah. Like I wouldn't want to have Nausicaa digitally, and I'm sure it's on the Viz Media app. I never checked. But having that set, because that is my favorite manga of all time. One of my favorite straight up things of all time, like the Nausicaa manga, I think is a brilliant work of incredible genius. Mm-hmm. That's how I want it. I want a nice big volume that looks handsome on the shelf, feels important, feels expensive. You know, like I want that. Even though it wasn't expensive, it feels expensive. It feels like you spent a lot of money on it. So, yeah, that's perfect. More stuff like that, please. Like that would be great.
I agree.
But absolutely. So, aside from that, every now and then towards the end of the year, Dark Horse just sends a box of... At this point, I'm just assuming that their marketing guy just has shit on his desk, and he's like, I need to get rid of this, and just mails it out. So, a couple of days ago, I got a box of random volumes from Dark Horse. For some reason, Gantz volumes 23 and 25, but not 24. And I haven't cracked a volume of Gantz in a long time, and don't think I ever will again. Because at this point, like I flipped through 23 and 25, uh-huh. I have no fucking idea what's going on. Other than apparently now the stakes in terms of visual nastiness have been raised so high that it is literally just 170 pages of monster gore in increasingly crazy situations. Not that it wasn't already that. But now it's just like this confusing mess of nothing. Like,
holy crap!
I just don't care. I don't care what's happening at this point. There's a panda.
What?
There's a panda. There's a panda in one of those suits. His name is like Koi Koi or something, and he has 40 points on the Gantz game. So I didn't see the scenes where the panda kills aliens, but that's in there. the crazy sort of psychosexual elements seem to have faded in these volumes, and now it's just violence with the occasional weird sexual imagery. So, like, the fan service is kind of going away a little bit, which, whatever, but, it's not like it's more pleasant as a result. Not that Gantz was ever a pleasant thing, but just looking at it, like, I open the page and it's just monster, blood, death, exploding limb, orgy, and it's like, all right, well, Gantz.
I hate to say it, but you tweeting that picture probably sold a ton of book copies.
maybe they sold 5 or 10, yeah, as a result.
That's awesome. Mumbles will be so happy.
Yeah, I'm sure. Ironically, the other thing, they weirdly sent 4 or 5 volumes of the Shinji Ikari Raising Project, which I'd never looked at, which is an alternate reality Evangelion manga, which I had only heard bad things about. And, so they sent these 4 or 5 volumes, and I flipped through them.
Yeah.
It seems like the dumbest thing in the world. Maybe that's an exaggeration, maybe that's a little early for me to be making that call, but seems like the worst thing. It's real stupid. Like, it's Evangelion if Evangelion was awful. And, like, this crappy, sex comedy. Because every chapter is just, they're just setting up a fan service shot. So it's like, you know, every shitty harem comedy you've ever read where it's like, oh, now we're in this place where the girls have to put on different outfits. And here's the way that they're going to fall, their private parts will fall onto the male character. Like, every chapter is that.
What?
Yeah, and it's just, it's just constant, like, here's my ass, yes, okay, we get it, that's your ass. You don't need to push it into the fucking frame every 2 seconds. Like, and they sent, like, 4 volumes of this, and I'm like, maybe this is an outlier. So I was looking at the other ones for research, and they're all like that. So this is, volume, 9 through 12 or something like that, and they're all like that, and it's just insane. Seems like the dumbest thing.
I've been meaning to do, a feature on all the Eva spinoffs.
Yeah, good luck
that. There's that Campus Apocalypse, there's that Shinji Ikari Raising Project, there's that Petite Eva that Ryumoto does.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
Because I don't know the Evangelion, story that intimately,
right,
I don't appreciate these riffs, kind of takeoffs on it. So the humor, it's like reading, the Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya-chan. Mm. Like, if you've not read the regular story, the humor just flies over your head. Like, what?
Yeah, totally. It's meant for people who enjoyed the show.
But did you read Campus Apocalypse yet?
They didn't send that for some reason. I guess they were like, "Hey, fuck you, Zach," and they just sent Shinji Ikari Raising Project. I don't have any desire to look at the other one. Like, I've heard they're all kind of bad, so who knows? My hopes are not high for that other one.
I go to the store and I try to look for the stuff that I should expand my horizons. I should read something different. But was it just me, or was there a whole bunch of manga that was about teenage guy having creepy feelings for his younger sister?
Oh yeah, that's a new genre. Didn't you know that?
It's Emoto stuff. That's what that's called, and we're getting a lot of it in the anime now. That's a trend.
I don't know why this kind of... I mean, like, me and my brother, we kind of hate each other. I mean,
this stuff never seems to be enjoyed by people who have actual siblings, Deb.
Right. So, the thought of my brother and I having any kind of super beyond familial relationship or any kind of longings...
That's nauseating.
Beyond my comprehension.
Yeah, it's beyond your comprehension and nauseating. Like, I have an older sister, and, all this shit just makes me, it's your fucking sister, dude. It seems to be written by people who don't have siblings for people who don't have siblings.
I remember in one of the notes to Angel Sanctuary, Katayuki said, "For some reason, my sibling and my friends who have siblings think my story is gross. I don't get it."
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
But you know how it is, right? I mean, there's so much of it, right? And you end up thinking, there's something wrong with me that I just don't get.
No, it's just a it's the fetish of the moment. It'll pass. Something else will come along.
Okay.
But for whatever reason, incest seems to be the fetish right now, and we're all poorer for it as a result. But in terms of other stuff, they also sent along Blood Blockade Battlefront.
Yasuhiro Naito, right?
Yeah, say that three times fast. Which I didn't, I flipped through it. I forgot that there was a new Naito manga. So it was interesting picking it up. It's like, oh, there's a new Naito manga. And then I read the synopsis on the back, and it doesn't sound good at all. Have either of you looked at this?
I have,
I looked at the first volume, but ultimately didn't pick it up.
Yeah, so maybe it's just it's as uncompelling as it ultimately sounds. Because just looking at the, so the synopsis on the back of the volume, I'm holding volume 2 right now. Synopsis on the back says, in the interdimensional maelstrom of Jerusalem's lot, New York gone to hell, Libra agent Klaus Reinhardt hunts the source of the super drug Angel Scale. I'm already falling asleep. Drawing Klaus into a contest with an alien mob boss. Okay. So that
sounds...
It's like
Mad Libs, right? It's like they throw these words into a jar and they shake it out.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And then looking through it, Naito's style hasn't changed at all. And it doesn't seem like he's doing much of anything different. There's still a million crucifixes everywhere. The character designs are all pretty similar. Who knows? Maybe it's cool. Maybe it's good. But it just doesn't seem very compelling to me. And, Rebecca, if you're saying you read the first volume and said, eh, then maybe I won't bother. But then they inexplicably sent, again, random volumes of Oh My Goddess, which I think I mentioned on a podcast, I would imagine opening a volume of Oh My Goddess now, having not paid attention to Oh My Goddess since the 90s.
Yeah.
And just having no idea what's going on. And it's like, so I opened, they sent like three, I opened up the newest one, which is like 42 or something like that, or 43. And, yeah, no, it was basically the same shit happening.
Well, it's quite it's like watching an episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
I can't believe people would want 43 volumes of the same thing.
But it's beautifully drawn, isn't it?
Yes, and that is one thing. His art style has only improved, Fujishima, and it is still gorgeous. It still looks great. And it's a classical style. It's almost... It's kind of between times. You can tell these characters were originally designed in the 90s, and then slowly his art style has gotten more refined and a little bit more elegant, and now it's kind of existing in between, what you would expect to see in a modern manga and what you would expect to see from something from the 90s. So art-wise, that's a really interesting thing, and I would be interested, years from now to have someone really, pick up all of Oh My Goddess and say, okay, this guy drew this over a span of 15-plus years. Right. As an evolution of an artist, what do you say about the man who made it? That would be a really interesting piece. I would be curious to read someone's thoughts on that. But, thanks for the stuff, Dark Horse.
I feel a little less special now.
I looked at all your stuff, man. It was weird.
They didn't send you the Legend of Zelda book?
That went to our game guy.
That's supposed to be a thing of beauty.
Yeah, he's going to review it for the games column, so people can look forward to that. It's fun dropping in every now and then. I don't read a lot of manga, which is why I like doing these shows, because I learn about things that I should read from you guys. And...
Or shouldn't read, in my case.
Or shouldn't read. Yes. And it's fun to learn. But it's always fun dropping in every now and then. And just, sometimes I'll just go to the bookstore and just pull five things off the shelf and say, okay, let's try these. And
it's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's super fun. I really like doing that. It's always good just to stick your toe in a little bit. Because I'm mostly an anime guy. But yeah. Okay, so before we get to Twitter, and we got a lot of Twitter questions, I did want your take on how you thought 2012 went for manga overall. And Deb, I'd like to start with you on this, because you're a little bit more of a you watch the trends, I think, a little bit more. And so I wanted to start with you on this. Like, how was 2012, and what do you expect from the next year?
2012, I mean, it seemed like, I mean, you know, obviously there's lots of strides have been made in the digital space, which shown in Jump Alpha, you know, debuting in January, the weekly version and digital-only version of Shonen Jump magazine. That was a big deal. And they recently announced that they're going to be going day and date as of January 2013. So, you know, that's pretty impressive that they're doing that. I mean, that you can read an English version of the latest chapter of One Piece the same time as Japan. You know, I mean, I haven't been an industry watcher that long, but, you know, I've been reading manga since I was 8 years old. And, you know, sometimes I shake my fist like an old lady and go, you know what, you kids? Once upon a time, I had to wait for the slow boat to come in from Japan
with
that manga that I wanted to read. And then I had to take out my little Japanese English dictionary and translate that shit by hand. So the fact that, you know, now we're at this point where you can read this stuff, you know, as it comes out, and it benefits the artist, and it is just as intended. It's in beautiful production quality. I think that's pretty amazing. And we're seeing more platforms come out. I mean, there's stuff for Android as well as for Kindle and Nook. I've seen growth exponentially, which is very exciting. I think it seems like the publishing industry, while not back to where it was, you know, 5 years ago, where it was, you know, 200% growth every year. Obviously, with the, you know, demise of borders and with the general trend where people are, you know, transitioning to reading digital content versus print content, that, you know, I don't think we're going to, and of course, you know, the ease of availability of free pirated content, that, you know, I don't think we're going to go back to the time when manga publishers were sprouting up left and right and we had all kinds of content of varying quality. I think publishers are much pickier about what they put out, and they're, you know, I mean, when I recently went back to Japan for a short trip, and, you know, I mean, I'm always blown away how much manga there is, and what we get in English is just a drop in the bucket, and there's just, you know, but, you know, you, at the same time, you can't even begin to hope that you're going to get all that, because, you know, frankly, like comics in America, there's a lot of crap. You don't want everything. So, I mean, I think things are looking up. Things are better. I mean, like we mentioned earlier that, you know, the publishers are putting some effort into making some beautiful editions, hardcover editions. There's a lot of variety that's coming out. I don't think we're out of the woods. And I don't think, you know, things are ever going to go back to the way they were. But I think we're getting good stuff. And that's good to see.
Cool. All right. Do you think that in, basically like in 2013, do you think it's going to be growth, or are we going to see, status quo?
For now, I do think it's status quo, because I don't think the sales are, I mean, you know, the general economy is not that great to begin with here. Right. I mean, I think it's pretty, I mean, you'll have to tell me, has the things for anime gotten better?
Stable. It's just stable. Like, there's not a lot of, no more death. We're not seeing a lot. Death. You're seeing people. You're seeing corpses that were already corpses finally admitting that they're corpses. But not a lot more death. It's stabilized. We just did a Funimation episode, and they confirmed that things are stable and they're good, and things are going to be okay. And you know, you guys basically had your 2005 in terms of anime years. You guys had your 2005. 2008-ish, a year ago, in terms of, you know, the borders thing and all those publishers going out of business and all that shit. So what you're saying is, like, again, once again, manga follows anime. So next year is going to be a year of stability, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I find is really interesting is I'm seeing some new digital players coming into the market. I met with the people from Manga Reborn when I was in Japan. And they're trying to do a crowdsourcing translation effort. And I think Digital Manga is trying to bring in DL Site, which is a doujinshi site. And of course, you know, they're doing more hentai manga and they're doing the more with e-manga. Amimaru, like I mentioned, is a Finnish startup trying to offer manga in English through Facebook and selling it with Facebook credits. So, you know, like we're saying, once upon a time, you would see little startups offering print, you know, manga and print. Like, remember GoComi and Aurora? It seemed like every other month there was a new publisher popping up. And now you're seeing publishers popping up, but they're all digital.
Yeah, digital is definitely the future, and I hope that at some point someone makes some kind of Comixology-style app where I can go to one place and get every publisher's content and pay a flat rate for most of it.
I know. I mean, actually, you know, I've brought this up a couple times, and maybe it's probably harder than it sounds, but I would love to see a one site that has a listing of all the different manga that's available digitally, tells you what platform it's available in, how much it is, you know, sorts it out by genre. You know, if you like, you might be interested in, and you can click immediately through to the site that has it.
Right.
Instead, what they have now is a gazillion different sites with all kinds of offerings that are not organized in any way that encourages browsing and discovery. You know, I mean, hey, if anyone's got any money, come call me. I'll set you up.
Right.
I've always wanted to do this, but just because, you know, I'm sending people to five or six different sites to find stuff. And even like with J Manga, I get pinged all the time. It's like, what title should I read now? I swear to God, I should probably have this on a, you know, notepad where I can just copy and paste it.
Yeah.
And just to the question that way. Read this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. Wait, here's why. Because, you know, it's really hard to sort out what's good, what's worthwhile.
Yeah, that's a big problem. You know, it ultimately, it does kind of speak to the fact that there is so much published in Japan, and we're just now getting, you know, What would you say the percentage is? Like, if you had to guess, like, what are we getting? Like, maybe 30% of it in English, like, legally?
Are you kidding? No, it feels like 0.2%.
0.2%, yeah. And that's overwhelming. So, like, just that's overwhelming. Like, just with that amount being published, and through no fault, really, of the publishers, because they're all working with their own titles, they're all trying to make money for themselves, they're not trying to promote someone else's product. There's no like one really great clearinghouse where it's like, here's everything. Here's what you should read. Here's what you might like if you like that. Like there's really no one destination for that. So.
Yeah. I mean, working on creating that kind of recommendation engine, that kind of way to sort out content is some pretty sophisticated. If it's not sophisticated, it's laborious to figure out that kind of information architecture. The right people with the right know-how could do this amazingly well, but you have to know your shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to see us even like, you know, everyone talks about Spotify, but Spotify does a great job of making it easier to discover stuff. You know?
Yeah, that's true. It's also like, well, that would be cool though. If you're like, if you had like a manga application where you were paying a subscription rate, you had access to this entire library, however many titles. It has an algorithm to determine what it is you might like next. You get to the end of a volume, and it says, hey, here's the next thing. And it just starts, it just puts you at the front cover of the next volume that it thinks you might like. Mm-hmm. You know, that'd kill a Sunday pretty quick for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, I mean, even if it was just, you know, like J-Manga 7 is trying to do this thing where they offer, J-Manga 7 is an offshoot of J-Manga where they're offering free content, new chapters every day that you read. And I have to say, and I haven't reviewed it, and I really do owe them a good, you know, once-over review of the whole experience. But when I experienced it, it made it really easy for me to sample a chapter, get into it. And if I wanted to buy it, it had a really good integration between being interested and buying it. There's still a lot of work to be done. No one has done it perfectly yet. There's a lot of opportunity out there. But it's a big mess right now.
Indeed. All right. Rebecca, any thoughts on the last year?
I feel like there have been some more risks taken with some of the titles that have been licensed. I can't imagine having seen something like Wandering Sun earlier in the, you know, in the days when everyone was licensing anything Shonen Jump, and that was about it. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was titles like that. That sort of the other one I was thinking of, Thermae Rome, again, another one that I think is sort of niche that we might not have seen in another time. So that's been sort of striking me. I think there's also been more shoujo coming out. Still not a lot of Jose, which makes me sad. But you know, we're seeing some more titles that are romances for pretty much middle and high school girls. And you know, they're not always excellent, but there's definitely more of them coming. And including the reissue of Hanakimi, which was a sad disappointment to me. It was not the story I remembered. But
well, neither was Star Wars for me. So
exactly, sort of the same thing. Why did I like this so much? What happened? But yeah, it was sort of one of the ones that started the shoujo craze, as far as I can recall, at least for me, that and Fruits Basket. So it's nice to see it come back, even if it wasn't the story I remembered. A lot of reissues, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. This was a good year for that. And of course, there's Sailor Moon.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But also we started to get the omnibuses of earlier titles, Tokyo Mew Mew, Love Hina, Genshiken, I think that one came back. So that was, it almost feels like it ties in with sort of the whole nostalgia trip that brings things like My Little Pony back. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember this when I was in high school. Maybe we should reissue that. And to the disappointment of people who read it in high school and realize it's no longer good. But, I think that that's definitely been a marker of this year, at least for me. Mm. Of course, the nice additions that were mentioned before is definitely a new thing. I mean, I do remember the bad old days of $17 for one volume of Ranma. That wasn't anything special to look at and then fell apart after you read it twice. But and now it's you pay $17 for something, you're getting something that is actually good looking. And if it's published by one or two of the publishers, the spine won't crease, even if it's hugely thick, which is very nice.
Yeah, I think the relationship between the publishers and the fans is very different than it was, you know, 5 years ago.
Yes, I think so. I think there's more of an understanding, perhaps, of what the fans would like to see. Mm-hmm. And that's very nice.
But also, too, I think people have gotten a little more sophisticated about their manga consumption, don't you think?
Oh yeah, I definitely think so. I think that ties in with how we're seeing more unusual series coming out as well. Mm. That, well, it doesn't all have to be by one of three authors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what it, you know, like I have this little article I have in my queue because I have this ridiculous queue of half finished articles. One is 10 reasons why the manga you want published won't ever be licensed in the United States.
Heartening.
Well, no, but you know, it's you always deal with people saying, why isn't XY published? Why aren't they picking up this? Why aren't they picking up that? And it's usually the same 10 reasons. You know, it's too Japanese.
Right.
It's too naughty. the author doesn't want it to be published in English. One of the famous examples is Suge, who is a kind of like super influential in indie comics manga guy, and he just refuses to have his work available in English. Just refuses.
Now, is he translated in other languages, just not English?
I think not, barely in French. He just feels like he's going to be misrepresented, and he just figures he feels like the truest representation of his work is in Japanese, and if anyone wants to appreciate it, they should just learn how to read Japanese.
Well, I suppose from an authorial standpoint, that's fair enough. I mean, it's not great for those of us who don't read Japanese, but it is his work.
Yeah, and that is his right. And, you know, he's an older guy. And so, you know, I think some people are thinking eventually it'll be it does get easier. I mean, I hate to be morbid, but it does get easier when the author dies.
Yes, when the estate is no longer under his control.
Correct. But, you know, I mean, also, too, you know, you're asking a publisher to take a chance on an older title mm-hmm. when that doesn't has no anime tie-in, that maybe only appeals to a niche of a niche audience.
Yeah,
I respect, you know, that this is a risky proposition.
Right. I mean, risk taking in any publishing is sort of a rare thing. I mean, one book becomes big and you suddenly see 4,000 imitators. Mm-hmm. And I think that holds true for manga as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we were talking about the older brother, younger sister creepiness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is creepy. I don't even have brothers and that's creepy.
Oh, thank you. I thought it was just me.
No, I have two younger sisters, but the whole sibling romance thing is very creepy to me. Strangely, not in a way that some of the animal romance ones, like Guru Guru Panchan. I have a yellow lab, but for some reason that doesn't creep me out as badly.
Yeah, I hear you. I can take all kinds of stretches of the imagination, but like Oremo, it creeps me out.
I couldn't even get through the first volume. But we might not have seen it published here a few years ago, so there is that.
Yeah. No, I know there's an audience for it, and I apologize to all of you out there who think that's the shit. But I'm a middle-aged Japanese woman who finds this incredibly creepy.
Okay, all right. I think that brings us to Twitter time. We got plenty of questions here. All right, Jaren Amenich asks, what have been the best releases that have come out in the past year and ones that people might have missed? We kind of covered this a little bit, but anything you didn't mention? Like, you know, if you didn't read manga in 2012, what's the one thing you should pick up, I guess?
I think actually I might say start with a happy ending, which DMP put out. And
it was cute.
Yeah, it was really cute. It was unusual. It was, you know, some of the stories were genuinely tearjerkers. It was just a nice little surprise that, you know, I got it without really paying attention to what the back copy said, and I thought it was a very pleasant surprise. So I don't think many DMP titles get a lot of press. So I would say that is definitely one that if you missed it, you should look at.
You want to explain the plot a little bit?
Oh, yes, sorry. It's late. The premise is that the cat god has the authority to grant a week of extra life to people who have died unexpectedly, either saving cats or who did great service to cats. And despite what it sounded like to me, I'm not quite the crazy cat lady. I have dogs too. I once had a rabbit. I aspire to a goat one of these days. But it was, even if you're not a cat person, the way that the stories are handled is really touching. And it's less about being kind to cats and more about finishing what business you might not have gotten to do, or just coming to terms with what your life was. And then at the end, everyone is given a chance to be reborn as a person, as a cat, with or without their memories. And it's really about resolution, which I thought was a nice way to handle the subject matter. And of course, if you like cats, there are lots of cats in it. So that's an added bonus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really charming one. If you haven't picked up, I can't say enough good things about Pride by Yukari Ichijo, honestly, the one on J Manga. It's about two young women who aspire to be opera singers, and one is very rich, very, you know, very privileged, and the other one is very poor, comes from a very poor background and has to really scrap for everything she's got. Now, in the traditional sense, you would expect that this poor girl would be the heroine, and she, you know, the rich girl would be the unsympathetic, evil, you know, manipulative one. But what you find in this one, and Yukari Ichijo is a longtime shoujo manga author, and this is a josei series, it is extremely nuanced and interesting in that the rich girl has a reversal fortune, and she has to kind of make her own way in the world. And the poor girl really is not the angel that she would normally be in any other situation. It is a cracktastically great story. It's like if you watch K-dramas, you'll love this.
Oh, now I have to read it. I'm addicted to K-dramas.
It's beautifully drawn, and it's wonderfully... Yukari Ichijo is a wonderful storyteller. The drama, if you read it, the characterization is really powerfully drawn. I highly recommend it. I mean, I really want to love Thermae Romae. But it's just a quirky little pleasure. Heart of Thomas, I think everyone should pick up. It's very powerful. It's about these, it's set in a German boarding school, and a young boy throws himself off a bridge above a railroad trestle, and he leaves a note saying, "To Julie, this is my heart." He basically commits suicide because of this unrequited love he has for this upperclassman. And the upperclassman has to kind of deal with the fact that this younger boy killed himself because of him. And then another boy enters the school who looks just like him, who looks just like the boy who died. So it has a lot of really complex themes. It's very emotionally rich. It's also not, if you compare it to common modern day contemporary boys' love, there's not a whole lot of sexy time going on. But you can see why this set off this trend of boys' love. I think it's really worth checking out. I know there's probably it's like with the Oscars, right? You tend to forget the stuff that came out earlier in the year.
That's right. I'm just trying to think what else. I can't remember if Only Serious About You came out this year or last year. It was a little boys' love 2-volume story about a single father who is raising a daughter, and he gets involved with the guy who is a customer at his restaurant. And he does, and as usual, you know, he doesn't identify as homosexual. The other guy does, and there's the romance aspect, but it's more about about the two of them raising a child and just realizing that two parents doesn't matter what gender they are, it works out. And it was just a really charming story. It was a little bit like the early volumes of Bunny Drop with two gay men.
Mm-hmm.
It was very sweet. But again, I don't remember if that's this year or last year.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually working on my best of 2012 list now, and I haven't really gone through everything yet. I will say that I think this was a good year for manga. There's a lot of interesting books that came out.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Cool. All right. Next question from Kenshin77. Actually, I need to answer this. It says he noticed that Justin Savakis and I will be attending Anime Los Angeles as guests of honor, and if we have plans to record an AnCast there. Technically, we're industry guests, not guests of honor, but we will be at Anime Los Angeles this year, and we will be taping a live AnCast at Anime Los Angeles on that Saturday. So come on by, say hello, pick up some volumes of the Shinji Ikari Raising Project.
Which everyone now desperately wants after you praised it so highly.
Yeah, well, I forgot to do this. I'm just going to read the synopsis on the back of Volume 10 here. It says, "The Campus Culture Festival is coming up for the students of Class 2A, and in manga these days, that means not only cosplay, but starting an all-girl band. But what are they supposed to do about the fact that the keyboardist Shinji isn't a girl? Well, that's when it's time for crossplay. I'm going to go vomit now." Anyway.
Oh.
Fucking A, man.
Oh my god, that is just fan service gone wrong.
Yeah, oh god. Alright, Chard Knight asks, "Do you think Viz should wait for an anime adaptation, or should they release Silver Spoon already, since it's one of the best-selling mangas in Japan?"
I would love to see Silver Spoon. I think it's great.
This is based on the smash hit 1980s sitcom, right?
Oh, no. Silver Spoon is Hiromu Arakawa's new manga. She did Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah, I that was a joke.
No, it's just great. I mean, I really enjoy it. It's have you read her? She did a really funny set of autobiographical comics on J-Manga about growing up in Hokkaido on a farm. It's hilarious.
Nope, did not. But
so good. But, you know, I mean, I have to admit that probably, well, you know, if they're going to release Terme Romaine, yeah, I could plausibly see them releasing a comic about agricultural college in Hokkaido. But then again, they released Moyashimon, and we only got 2 volumes of that, which was also set in agricultural college.
Right.
So I don't know. But Silver Spoon is published by what? Shueisha?
I have no
Square
idea.
Enix?
I think it's Square Enix, but I'm not positive.
Oh, if it's Square Enix, then that's Yen Press property. Don't you think?
I think so.
Who knows? But I don't know if this is accurate or not, but my gut tells me that sooner rather than later is better for manga just in general, in terms of a legal release.
Yes, don't they shouldn't let sit on it too long.
For something like that, which is, I assume, aimed at a pretty broad audience, I would imagine. Okay. Robert Crockett asks, wait, I'm going to rephrase this. CTR001 asks, please ask what would be a good manga for a middle-aged woman to read that hasn't read manga but likes romance and fiction novels?
Pride.
There you go. Pride. Emma.
Oh, Emma. Emma is wonderful.
Yeah.
Or even A Bride Story is great, too.
Oh, yeah. So if she likes historical novels and romance, Emma is just right up her alley, I would say.
And by the way, Yen Press, please bring out a hardcover edition.
That'd be nice.
That'd be really nice, because some of the CMX volumes are out of print.
Yeah. I recently watched that show for the first time, and I was kind of, it's okay.
The anime's not as good. I mean, you know what I love about Kaoru Mori's artwork? If you look at her artwork, and it's incredibly skillfully done, she can tell so much in just these subtle facial expressions.
Yes, she's the master of the speaking glance.
Ah, so beautiful. I draw comics myself, so I can maybe I appreciate, you know, like, wow, that is super hard to do. You know, like some people, like you can watch a gymnast go and you go, wow, that looks easy. But if you're a gymnast and you've tried to do it, you go, whoa, that's fucking hard. I feel like that when I look at Kaoru Mori's work, like that's a master. But yeah, I've recommended Emma to a lot of people who don't normally read manga. I mean, women, female readers. I've also recommended Drops of God.
What? Also... No, you?
Come on! It's soap opery. Come on.
It's a shame about that. I was hoping that was gonna. Okay, I was hoping that the original licensor would be a little bit more reasonable about their expectations of success on Drops.
Oh yeah, I know.
Whenever Ed talks about that, it's ridiculous. I cannot believe that literally they're like, well, it's not the biggest fucking thing in the world. So, like that is so silly.
Oh, you know what else is good, speaking of vertical? Cheese Sweet Home.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
For that's anyone.
Good. Sort of perennial recommendation for people who don't read manga.
Just so awesome. Or Yotsuba. Super charming.
Sure. Okay, moving on. Redneck Otaku asks another recommendation question. What are some shonen or seinen titles that are really good from this past year? I'm looking for some ideas to get back into manga.
Well, I enjoyed Jack the Ripper Hellblade for reasons that I don't entirely comprehend, but it was a fun read. The second volume just came out. I haven't read it yet, but it's sort of a mishmash of seinen action and Victorian mystery. It was fairly different from a lot of other things I'd read recently, so that might be a good rekindling title.
That's a good point. I mean, maybe it's because this was on the top of my reading list, but I really thought Bloodlad was really entertaining. It's a really fun book. What else is seinen? Seinen seemed to be kind of little slim pickings this year, come to think of it.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing that really blew me away on the level that, you know, like your Lone Wolf and Cub blows you away on your first reading of it, like your Akira blows you away in the first time you read it. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't really have that experience this year where I just wanted to, you know. I mean, there was a period when Viz put out all those Iki titles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like your Dorohedoro and Children of the Sea. And, you know, I think those are really great seinen titles. But I think, no, I don't know this for a fact, but I feel like a lot of their energy, cell building blood cells went to getting Shonen Jump Alpha off the ground.
Mm.
And then, you know, Iki kind of never really sold in a big way. So they had, you know, like, I've been waiting for the latest volume of Children of the Sea for a long time. Dorohedoro kind of trickles out.
After School Charisma is another one. Sort of.
Yeah. So often. Also very good, but you know, like you notice what happens with Viz, and I can't hate on them for this entirely, but it is disappointing that when a series starts selling, doesn't sell very well, then they slow down the releases to a glacial crawl.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
I wish I had more to recommend. I'm sorry to say I don't.
Well, speaking of that, next question from Nicholas Cage asks, somewhat negative don't care reaction from non-North Americans regarding Shonen Jump Alpha. Thoughts? Well, my first thought is, of course you don't care. It doesn't apply to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And frankly, like, not to be a dick, but...
I know it's a good way to start.
which means I'm about to be a dick. But when something gets announced for North American release in English, I am real tired of the entire discussion being dominated by English speakers in other countries who just have to let us know that it's not good enough because it's not in Paraguay or whatever. You know, look, I get it. You want it in your region. I understand, but... does that have to totally dominate the discussion to the point where that is all anyone can talk about? Is that not good enough because it's not day and date also in France or the UK or whatever? Like, that's good news. It's nice that they're releasing it day and date in North America. That's a huge part of their audience. That's good for them. I don't understand why we can only talk about English speakers in other countries and nothing else, because it seems like it just dominates. I get so tired of seeing it. Like, I get their point, but man, is that really the only thing we can talk about?
Well, you've seen this in, you know, the anime side, and it's like that in everything. It's even like that if you read tech blogs and stuff like that. Like, say Apple announces, like, we're going to do this, this, and this to the new iPod. Everyone's like, but you don't have that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like that in all aspects of culture, like, you know, that every commenter has to be the, you know, I'm going to be the rainmaker. I'm going to rain on this parade because that makes me feel cool. You know, like I've pointed out the flaw in their brilliant thing. It's, you know, like my big meme thing this year. I love Grumpy Cat. But, you know, that cat that looks really grumpy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's, you know, but Grumpy Cat is at least cute, you know? But, you know, you being Grumpy Cat in the forums.
Oh, that's cute, huh?
Oh, that's where you were going with that. Okay.
it's like I was kind of bitching with, you know, like some of the people who were, you know, being down on Shonen Jump. It's like, do you know how fucking hard it was for them to get to this point? And they got to this point in a year? They're killing themselves to do this? Can't you at least say, that's so awesome you guys are doing this. I can't wait for my country to be next. Instead of, you know, what the reaction is. Well, it's not in my country. Yes, I know it's not in your country.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. we know it's not in your country.
I feel for you. I'm so sorry. But, you know, you have some really awesome things in your country, like free socialized health care.
Yeah, we don't have that. Yeah. When we get that, you can have your comics stay.
I don't know what to say because, you know, the negativity is so endemic.
It's endemic. And, I've noticed this across a lot of different things where it's like somebody points out a flaw and then that becomes the meme. So the meme is, let's all just point out the flaw. And so the flaw in Shonen Jump is that it's not available to every English speaker on the earth at the same time as it's available to Japan and North America. So that's the flaw. So let's only talk about that. Let's not talk about how this could change things in terms of, you know, fewer people relying on scans. Let's just focus on the fact that, like, well, you know, English-speaking fans in Germany don't have access to it, so this is a failure. Which goes back to the other thing of, your solution isn't perfect and it's not all things to all people, so let's not do anything about it. Like, that's the annoying thing.
It's so disheartening to these people who are working so hard to make something good happen.
Yeah, totally. You know what I mean? They're working really hard. Yeah, even, you mentioned
even,
it. Yeah.
Even J Manga went ahead and, like, you know, when they first came out, everyone says, North America only,
Yeah.
And then they went live worldwide within several months. I was astounded.
And then when they do that, they get no credit for it.
Exactly.
Like, they don't, the same people who just, like, flood the comments with nothing but, well, I live in the Philippines and I speak English, so this is dumb and a waste of time because I don't have it at the same time as everyone else. When they do eventually get to the Philippines, they say fucking nothing. It's just right. Like, oh, okay. And, you know, and I hate to say it, but I would imagine a lot of these people complaining, just download the skins anyway. So,
whatever. So, I mean, I think everyone in everyone who works and does this kind of stuff, you yourself included, right? You just kind of get, you kind of learn to get a little thick skin.
Yeah, well, sure. Sure. It's just that it gets to a point where that is the conversation.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to somehow see the good or somehow feel like, oh, we made the right choice or this is a good thing when the whole, like, it's not available to English speakers in every possible point on the globe dominates the conversation to the point where you can't talk about anything else.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, that's when, you know, that's when I pull out my grumpy old lady card and say, you know, you guys got it so good now.
Yeah.
You guys have so much manga to choose from. Like, there's not enough hours in a day to consume all this great content. You know, yeah, you don't have every single thing you've ever wanted to read at this moment for free, but grow up.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, I know. No one listens to me anymore when I get in grumpy old lady mode.
All right. Wayne One asks, do you guys think if Vertical put out any of the Ishinomori stuff, even though Comixology put out some digitally, would they do even half as well as the Tezuka stuff that they put in? No.
No.
I would just say sorry. No to that.
Yeah.
Tezuka's the Miyazaki of anime in terms of mainstream exposure, sales. Like, Tezuka, they put out a Tezuka book, it's going to do real well.
But, I mean, like Fred Schott and a couple other people have pointed out to me, Ishinomori did more than just superhero stuff. He did some very edgy, experimental stuff, just as Tezuka did. But, I think it's right now, just as a Dark Horse put out Tezuka, put out Astro Boy, you know, we got Adolf, we got a real trickle of Tezuka stuff, Buddha, and now you have a lot. But that took years, you know? With Ishinomori, we may see revival of interest in his work, but that's up to their estate. The Re-Cyborg 009 movie is a factor in its favor. I don't see Vertical going out of their way to print Ishinomori manga in English, because I think you've heard from Ed and I've heard from Ed too, that they get this rep as being the savior of classic manga, but they got to make money. So they haven't really been going out of the way to publish classic stuff. People don't see that. They've been publishing a lot of contemporary stuff, like Sakuran and Flowers of Evil, Lychee Light Club, and so on. These are all contemporary titles. And I think that if they had just kept being this criterion of manga, just publishing the highly critically acclaimed but older stuff, I don't think they'd be around today.
Vicious Smith asks, and I'm curious about this too, what the heck is after Bleach and Naruto when it comes to shonen manga? Is Magi bringing the heat? I don't know that it's bringing the heat.
Good question.
Yeah.
I've not read Magi yet, so I don't know what to say. I do like Blue Exorcist a lot.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite shonen title coming out right now.
Mm-hmm. Really well done. Good stuff. I don't know. I think there's a lot of anxiety out there. What will happen when Bleach ever does end, or One Piece ends, Naruto. But, you know, they had this anxiety too when Dragon Ball called it a day, and so did Slam Dunk.
There'll always be someone to step up.
I hope so. I don't know so. I don't know what's, you know, I mean, one thing about the Shonen Jump Alpha is we saw a couple, new Shonen Jump series come in the same time as Japanese readers saw them. Takahama mm-hmm. Nohara, Cross Manage, what was the other one? Barrage. Kind of come and go. And people were like, oh, you know, what's up with that? And it's like, well, that's how it is in Shonen Jump. In weekly Shonen Jump, a series comes on, gets its shot. And if it doesn't do well in the polls, it gets phased out. So I think for the first time, I think a lot of readers are getting a sense on how very difficult it is to create that Shonen title that's going to catch fire.
Yeah, although I am not looking forward to the days when Naruto is winding down and One Piece is basically all that's left. Because there's kind of nothing else, right? I mean, that's it. Like,
well, there's Attack on Titan.
Well, which is huge in Japan, which is just fucking not going on here at all. Like,
I'm still trying to figure that one out.
I don't get it. It's good. I like Attack on Titan. It's pretty cool.
But it took One Piece a while to catch on here.
Well, One Piece never caught on here, though.
Right. I mean,
never did. Like, that's it sells a good point. Okay. Well,
not in the way that it's in Japan. In Japan, it's ubiquitous.
Yeah.
It outsells Naruto like 5-1, doesn't it?
More than that, probably.
Probably.
It outsells books. Like, just in general, books.
Just everything, everywhere. Yeah. I mean, in the last article I wrote about making a living manga, I was trying to put into context, like, of the best selling comic series in America is The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And One Piece last year outsold all Walking Dead books by a factor of 100-1.
Just period. Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, okay, like even Naruto 56 sold maybe 6,000 copies in the first month it came out. Mm-hmm. It sold 60,000 copies in Japan in the first week.
Right.
So what we don't understand, and when we got all bitchy about, like, oh, North America, you know, oh, we are a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
Compared to the Japanese market. And Paraguay, you are a drop in a drop.
Poor Paraguay.
Sorry.
All right. Laura Bits asks, what do you see in OAL manga sites like Manga Mag, their limitations and or potential? Looking forward to hearing it.
You want to take that one first, or shall I?
Well, I'm trying to think. I mean, there's the OAL manga is it's a pretty mixed bag, I think. And I've read some that I really enjoyed and some that was so derivative it was just dreck. So I think there'd have to be more of a really rigorous screening process is the wrong term, but it really make sure that the stories had merit on their own, and if they weren't drawn in a manga style, that they would still hold water.
Mm.
I think the most successful manga style comic that I've read was Miki Falls by Mark Criley,
mm-hmm.
where he even had that set in Japan, but it never felt like he was imitating something else. It was a story that really stood on its own. And I think a lot of the OEL that is out there just doesn't. That its selling point is, oh, look, we have manga-style art.
Hmm. I think it's, you know, mangamagazine.net is trying, is it .net or .com? I forget. Is trying to fill a void. You know, that there is no opportunity for a new up-and-coming comics creator to put their stuff out there and be read. I mean, yes, every single artist can create their own website and try to drive traffic to that website. But Manga Magazine, you know, I think what they're trying to do is create like this one-stop shop where you can browse and read all these stories. I mean, to be fair, Crunchyroll Comics is trying to do a very similar thing too. The limitations to this I see is that, one, you need traffic. You need to get readers there to read and enjoy it. I've tried browsing through their site and I find the quality to be wildly diverse. I mean, from the purely amateurish to very polished work. I think they need to set up a way for, well, let me back up a little bit. it, you know, when you deal with a manga magazine in Japan, you have there's an editorial focus. Each magazine has an editor, has an editorial team that screens the work for a certain style of story, certain quality of story. They create a nice mix. So you know that when you're picking up Hana to Yume or you're picking up Shonen Jump, you're going to see at least work that has a certain level of quality. Mm-hmm. It's going to have a certain mood, a certain editorial focus. And you can count on that. What you get in manga magazine, on the other hand, is just this mishmash of stuff that is painful. Some stuff is, I'm sorry to say, and I'm not going to name any names because I don't remember these names, and it's a good thing I don't. But some of this stuff is painfully bad. Like, it is like reading, okay, like, you know, like you were talking about, you had to read English papers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like reading really bad English papers.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, you're not going to make me pay for this shit, are you? I mean, I get my, I mean, to be perfectly fair, you know, artists have to learn how to tell stories somehow. They have to post their stuff up. They have to get reaction. I mean, when I started out as a cartoonist, I drew cartoons for the newspaper, the college newspaper. And that was the first time I put my work out there and got reactions from readers who weren't my friends. And that was great work. That was great practice. I had to pump out something every 3 days. And but the shit wasn't funny, people told me my shit wasn't funny, you know? But you grow from that. So there's this huge gap between being pure amateur and being a professional. And Manga Magazine, to its credit, tries to fill that gap. But as a reader who has to come in and try to find the gems in the giant sandbox of sand, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
I wish they did a better job of spotlighting the true quality stuff.
Like, I'm at a point where if someone said, hey, I'm working on an OEL, I would ask, why? And that's not because I think it's inherently inferior or anything. It just, it seems like the time for that has passed. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've kind of said this before online in a couple of different ways, but just that the people who I feel whose work is worth reading are the ones who decided to leave the manga label behind.
Yeah.
And just decided to try to make good comics.
Right.
Yes, there's a manga influence. Yes, you can see the manga influence, but they're not trying to imitate what artists in Japan already do. They are forging their own style. I love what Becky Cloonan's doing. I mean, I forget the new woman who does Amy Reader Hadley used to do stuff for Tokyopop. She does great work for DC now. I see those artists who have decided to not aspire to the Japanese template and, you know, sing their own songs, make their own remixes, do it their own way, do something truly interesting. But yeah, I think it's great what they're trying to do. I could probably go on for days on what I wish they would do, but yeah, that's another show.
So long as I never have to read anything like a midnight opera ever again.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you get way more. Oh, my. This is my passion project. You have to read it than I do. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that is an hour and a half, so we should wrap up. But that about does it. Both of you, thanks so much for coming back on. That was a lot of fun and enlightening, and I really appreciate you guys coming on the show.
Thank you, Zach. That was fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me.